أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 53. قل أنفقوا طوعا أو كرها لن يتقبل منكم إنكم كنتم قوما فاسقين. Say, spend willingly or unwillingly, it shall never be accepted from you, for you are indeed a transgressing lot. Verse number 54. وما منعهم أن تقبل منهم نفقاتهم إلا أنهم كفروا بالله وبرسوله ولا يأتون الصلاة إلا وهم كسالى ولا ينفقون إلا وهم كارهون. Nothing stops their charities from being accepted except that they have no faith in Allah and His Apostle, and do not perform the prayer but lazily, and do not spend but reluctantly. After the description of the attitude of the hypocrites in several verses, now there are a few messages and then some more descriptions of them following these messages. The first thing which the Prophet is told to convey to the munafiqun through this revelation is that tell them, if they want to spend something for your war, to give something to you because you are now going to the war, willingly or unwillingly. Willingly in the sense that they say, okay, we are not going to this war, but we pay some money so that the Prophet will be pleased with us. Or unwillingly, just out of the force of situation. If they pay anything, they spend anything on this, it is not going to be accepted from them. Because إِنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. You are indeed a transgressing lot. You are fasiq. Now, this is of course something that generally we know. Anything spent from a fasiq in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether willingly or unwillingly, is not going to be accepted. Because we have that general rule mentioned in Surah Ma'idah, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen anything done for Him or anything spent on in His way for His cause is only accepted from muttaqeen. And here it says, because you are fasiqun, because you are transgressors, nothing is going to be accepted from you. Then in the next verse, it goes into further detail why it is not accepted from you. Nothing stops their charities from being accepted. وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ. It means, as a first principle, anything, any charity spent in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be accepted by God, meaning that the person who spends them should be given an upgrade, a type of lift to all the spirituality, given a reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what prevents this to happen in this case, in the case of munafiqun, is that they have no faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ. They have no faith in Allah and in His Apostle, and do not perform the prayer but lazily, and do not spend but reluctantly. So three things are mentioned in more detail. In the previous verse it said, you are transgressors, you are fasiqun, so it's not going to be accepted from you. Here, three reasons is given that why your nafaqat, whatever you spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not going to be accepted from you. First, إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ. They do not believe, they have no faith. With kufr, of course, we have in many other verses of the Quran, no action, no charity is accepted with kufr, because kufr is something which would somehow burn whatever action, good action, which is given, offered by someone to humanity, to fellow human beings, or to whatever. Any action we do, it needs a type of farmland to be planted in there. And that farmland is faith, is iman. When iman is not there, if it's kufr, it means that every action would go just scattered like wind, as we have in Surah Ibrahim as well. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ لَا يَقْدِرُونَ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا عَلَى شَيْءٍ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الظَّلَالُ الْبَعِيدِ. The parable, the example of those who have disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do not believe in God, كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ, who are kafirs. Their actions are just like ashes in a very stormy day. And these ashes are scattered by the wind. Karamadin, ramad are ashes. Ishtaddat biha rihu fi yawmin asif. That a very, very strong wind has blown to it in a very stormy day. La yaqdiruna mimma kasabu ala shay'in. They are not able to do anything with whatever they have achieved. And they all go scattered. And this is what we mentioned before, ihbab, the annihilation of all actions, destruction of all actions, if kufr is there, if there is no faith. Now, on the contrary, of course, iman is something which holds the actions together. It's just like the thread which keeps the beads of a tasbih together. If the thread is not there, all these beads would go scattered, and you cannot use it, of course. So the faith is something which is very, very important in keeping the actions together, holding them together for you for the day of judgment. Now, we have some ahadith which seem to be very strange and very different to understand in this regard. For example, one hadith which is mentioned in Kafi, this shows up in very authentic books of Shi'i and Sunni as well, that لا يضر مع إيمان عمل ولا ينفع مع الكفر عمل. No action would harm if there is faith. With faith, no action, that means of course no sinful action, would harm. And with kufr, no action, meaning no good action, no charitable action, would benefit. Now, this is very difficult to understand. Of course, the first bit, the second part of the hadith, that with kufr, no good action is going to benefit, is understandable. Because as we said, kufr is like a farmland in which you have to plant all these good actions. And if there is no farmland, these actions would just dry out, go away. But the first part of the hadith, that with iman, no action would harm. It means that if you have faith in your heart, then whatever sin you do is not going to harm you. You are going to be safe at the end of the day. And this is something which is very difficult to understand. And again, it's many, many verses of the Quran. The concept that we get from this hadith comes in another way in many other Shi'i ahadith, that if you have the wilaya of a'imma or mahabba of the a'imma, then no sin is going to harm you. You are going to be saved on the day of judgment. It is actually the same thing, because wilaya of the Prophet and of a'imma is iman, is faith. And if you have that faith, no sin is going to harm you. So how are we going to understand this? If this is the case, then we can go on and do whatever sin we have, and then we say that, okay, we are safe on the day of judgment. Again, we have another ahadith, set of ahadith, which mention the same thing with a different expression. I just want to mention all these to say that this is not something which is just a type of fancy belief. It's something which is very firm in our traditions and in our understanding of religion. Now, these ahadith which says, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever says La ilaha illallah, here, قول and saying means believing, of course. whoever believes, because saying without belief is just nifaq, isn't it? So munafiq is not going to enter Jannah. But saying here means whoever believes in La ilaha illallah, they would enter paradise. And of course we know if we say La ilaha illallah, we really believe in La ilaha illallah, but we commit sins, we do evil things, these evil things are going to really harm us. So what is the meaning of this? What type of meaning we get out of this? How we could explain this is that, yes, of course, if you could keep your faith, if you could keep your faith at the end of your life with sinful action, then of course you are going to be saved after a fashion, of course, after a very long type of tribulations and difficulties. But the whole point is that evil actions would somehow destroy the faith. They are not compatible with each other. So it is explained in this way, that whoever could keep the faith until the end of the life. And it means that to keep the faith, of course, we might commit many things, but we have to act in a way that faith is saved, is kept for us when we are dying. Many people, they might even have a sort of weak faith at the bottom of their heart, but on the moment of encountering with the death, they might lose that faith because it's very weak, for example. So the meaning is whoever can take some faith with him to the other world, then they are going to be saved in a way, and they are going to enter paradise eventually. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Whoever says la ilaha illallah would enter paradise. Doesn't mean that immediately. Eventually, they might go through some years of hell even. But if the faith is there, of course, it is going to harm. La yadurru ma iman amalun. With faith, no action is going to harm. Would mean that there are many actions that we do while we are faithful, that, and it comes under the very, very strong principle of the Quran, يُكَفَّرُ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. God would make up for their sins, for the evil things. And this is prevailing in the Quran, that those who are faithful, and of course, آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, do good things, in the sense that these good things would keep their faith for them, would protect their faith. Then of course, other evil things that they do, Allah will say, يُكَفَّرُ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. This is the takfir that we of course discussed previously. And ihbat is the opposite of this. That whoever is kafir, then of course whatever good they do, is going to be just scattered like the ashes in the wind. It's not going to hold together and not going to benefit. So here it says, وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَنْ تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ. And nothing to stop their charities from being accepted. إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ. Except that they have no faith in Allah and His Apostle. This is of course the very general rule. وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَى. Kusala, of course, is laziness which is produced out of compulsion. They have some compulsion to come to the prayer. And they come while they are really, really reluctant under the force of situation. So they are very lazy, they do not pay attention to the Salat at all. They come to the Salat, of course, there might be some grains of understanding why they do pray, but they come very lazy. And of course, if we take the message out of this context, then the message will become very frightening for us as well, because if we do our salat in this way, it means that there are seeds of nifaq and hypocrisy in our hearts, and we have to really address this issue in our hearts so that our salat is not a salat which is a salat of kusala, of people which do it with laziness and with reluctance. So this is the second issue. وَلَا يُنْفَقُونَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ. Now, of course, At the beginning it said, spend willingly or unwillingly, reluctantly or willingly. Here it says, of course, they cannot spend willingly. Whatever they spend, whatever charity they give, they do it reluctantly. And if a charity is given reluctantly, then certainly it's not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, whatever they do, whatever they spend, now after they have not come with you to the war, they just want to give you some money to somehow mobilize your army, this is not going to be accepted from them. Tell them that it is not going to be accepted from them. And now, a question which comes into mind of everyone, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Prophet, meaning us, meaning that we have to understand this. Certainly the Prophet understands all these things. فَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَزَهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. So let not their wealth and children impress you. Allah only desires to punish them with these in the life of this world, and that their souls may depart while they are faithless. Now this is a very difficult verse to understand, of course. There is an easy part for this verse, easily understandable, and there is a difficult part to understand. First, okay, usually wealthy people are not faithful people. This is what we understand. Wealth usually is corrupting. Would corrupt one's own soul and one's own life. And the question comes, okay, why Allah gives wealth to such people? If these people are corrupt, if they do not deserve to have all these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why Allah gives them this plentiful type of favors which other people, usually the faithful, are deprived of? Now, the difficult part to understand is that Allah wants, desires to give them all these so that He punishes them with this. And this is very difficult to understand, that why Allah would desire to do such things with some of His servants, some of His creatures. Why do this with these human beings? Why He does not prevent them by not giving them the wealth, rather than by giving them and having the desire, trying to punish them through this? And what type of punishment is this? Is this really a punishment? Or this is, well, even if it's a punishment, it's a very pleasurable punishment, isn't it? It's good to have this type of punishment. If you want to punish me, give me some money and I thank you. It's good, isn't it? So why this type of punishment, if any punishment is involved? Now, the first thing is that, okay, first of all, you should not think that the favor of Allah could be measured by the amount of wealth that He gives to people. This you rule it out, as in Nahjul Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions very clearly, فَلَا تَعْتَبِرُ الرِّضَى وَالصُّحْ بِالْمَالِ وَالْوَلَدْ. Do not consider the wrath or the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be measured with wealth and children which are given to someone. This is certainly you have to rule it out. So the first thing is that فَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ. Do not be impressed, do not be amazed with all these wealth that we have given them. Children, of course, on those especially, especially male children that people had, it was strength, it was itself productive of more wealth. So do not be amazed, do not be impressed by what we are given them. It is not something that you should regard as a favor. Now, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذَّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah only desires to punish them with this in the life of this world. Now, punishing with wealth, with comfort, this is amazing, because if we were to judge, we would say that, well, Allah should really take everything from them. so that they become very poor, and they really taste the bitterness of the life of this world, because the life of this world is bitter when you are poor, when you don't have wealth, when you don't have anything to spend. If you have all these things, it is very pleasurable. It's not a type of azab. Here it says Allah would want, desiring to punish them, وَتَذْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And, well, this is again very strange and difficult to understand. Allah desires to somehow put them into the trap of having wealth so that they cannot pay attention to the message of the Prophet, so that they cannot believe and they go out of this world, or they so leave this world while they are kafir. It means Allah doesn't want them to believe. And He has given them all these wealth and these things so that they cannot pay attention to anything else. And they are so involved, they are so occupied by what we have given them, so that they cannot think, and they go out of this world, the souls leave this world while they are conquered. Why Allah should want to do such a thing? Of course, there's one thing we certainly understand. This, the last sentence of the verse, وَتَذْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ, is really a punishment. It is really a punishment. It would tell us why that wealth is going to be a punishment. That we want them to leave this world without faith. But why Allah would want such a thing to happen? Now, this, of course, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah wants to punish them with this wealth and with this abundance of children in the world of, in the life of this world. This has perplexed many exegetes as well. I have printed a few opinions on this from Majma' al-Bayan, so that you would see how difficult it has been for exegetes to explain this verse, and that's why they have come to come up with many, many different opinions about it. Here, Tabrasi rahmatullah alayhi, he says that إِنَّمَا يُرِدُ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا قَدْ ذُكَرَ فِي مَعْنَاهُ وُجُوهٌ. Many, many different opinions are expressed about the meaning of this sentence. One is that there is a misplacement of words because of the style. It shouldn't be read like this. It should be read as Allah, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بَهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. This hayat al-dunya does not belong to this إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بَهَا. It means that فَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Do not be impressed by their amwal and awlad in the life of this world. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بَهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah wants to punish them in the hereafter with them. Not that punish them with the wealth here, because wealth is not a punishment. As we expressed here, of course, the exegetes have paid attention to this issue as well, that how wealth could be a punishment for certain people. So it says, the verse should be read like this: do not be impressed by what we have given them in this world, we are going to punish them with it in the next world. But this comes out of nowhere, actually, because the verse doesn't say this. It says we want to punish them in this world with the wealth. And to come up with such an opinion means to completely change the order of the verse and the sentence of the Quran. The second is, this is very interesting, that it means that Allah wants to punish them with this wealth. Of course, all these opinions are expressed that for the reason why wealth is a punishment, how wealth could be a punishment for these people in this world. The second meaning is that Allah wants to punish them in this world, but تشديد عليهم في التكليف وأمرهم بالإنفاق في الزكاة والغزر. Because the more he gives them, the more will become their duties. And then Allah would give them, then would tell them that you have to give your money to spend in way of charity. This is an azab for them, because if you have lots of money and you have lots of duty, you are told that you have to spend it, it's going to be a punishment for you, an azab for you. And this is, then they have to pay with difficulty, with reluctance, and this is an azab. Well, I wonder if we want just to not pay attention to any of these orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what type of azab that was is going to be? It would be quite pleasurable. So this is not quite an acceptable opinion as well. The third opinion is that, well, they are in punishment because they have to all the time think about keeping, preserving, protecting the wealth that they have. And this is something, of course, that the poor people don't have. Well, I wonder any of you would not want to have money and protect it. Although it's difficult, you have to spend lots of money for protection of your money, but still, it's better than being so poor and destitute. So this is again not a very acceptable opinion. The fourth is that, well, it's a punishment because sometimes when you are defeated in war or when your money is stolen, you are very, you become very sad, you become really, really depressed by losing your money, and this is a punishment. Again, of course, this not always happens. The fifth opinion, which is probably his own opinion, is that إِنَّ الْمُرَادِ يُعَذِّبُهُمْ بِجَمْعِهَا وَحِفْظِهَا وَحُبِّهَا وَالْبُخْلِ بِهَا وَالْحُزْنِ عَلَيْهَا وَكُلُّ هَذَا عَذَابٌ وَكَذَلِكَ خُرُوجُهُمْ عَنْهَا بِالْمَوْتِ لَأَنَّهُمْ يُفَارِقُونَهَا وَلَا يَدْرُونَ إِذَا مَاذَا يَفْعَلُونَ. Okay, the punishment is that they are all the time occupied by collecting the wealth, protecting the wealth, giving their love to this wealth, and not spending it, becoming sad if they lose it, and all these are different types of punishment that Allah is giving them, and then they have to leave it while they die, and they don't know where they are going, they are leaving whatever they have behind. This is again another punishment. Better type of opinion, but not exactly. Now, what we can say about this is that really, we do not understand that wealth, money, abundance without faith is a punishment for human beings. We do not understand this. We think otherwise, but it is, because a soul is created to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we don't have this connection, anything which diverts us from this connection is a punishment for us. We do not understand this. Allah is telling us that you do not understand this. In Surah Mu'minun, it's very, very clearly, أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِذُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. This is very clear. Do they think that whatever we give them in terms of wealth and children, we are hasting to give them good things, khairat? They do not understand it, that this is a punishment coming upon them. Of course, we do not really want to punish them in this way. But they, as human beings, they go, they collect it. And this would become a punishment for them. Of course, you would say, why Allah would let them to have all these wealth? Why this is written for them? Of course, it's written for anyone who goes after it. But then Allah says, we have written it in the way that whoever is kafir and collects it, this should become a punishment for them rather than a bliss, rather than a blessing, rather than a favor. It would become a punishment, but you do not understand it. And the meaning إنما يريد الله ليعذبهم بهذا الحياة الدنيا. Allah wants to punish them. It means that Allah has decreed in this way that whoever is kafir in this world and collects the benefits of this world, collects the wealth and whatever, this should become a punishment over them rather than a blessing. And of course, this is the meaning of the very, very standard verse in Surah Taha, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ذَنْكَ. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, they would have a miserable life. Now, this miserable life doesn't mean that they will become poor, they go to poverty, no. Still, even while they are so well-to-do, they have a miserable life because their souls are being contained from moving up towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more they have, the more this is going to bring them misery, and the more their souls are going to occupy by this. And therefore, وَتَذْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Their souls would leave this world while they are kafir. This is written. This إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ means this is written. That anyone collecting these things without having faith would end up like this. And anyone turning away from remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would end up to have a miserable, destructive type of life which would come to them at the end of the day. So, yes, of course, the whole issue of being entangled with wealth would be a punishment for kafir. For mu'min, of course, it's favor. Everything is favor. Now, in Surah Mu'minun, the verse which I mentioned, it clearly mentions what is a favor, what is a punishment. أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّ بِهِمْ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Do they think whatever we give them in terms of children and wealth, are we rushing to their goods? بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They don't understand. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفَقُونَ. Now let me tell you for whom we are rushing them towards good things. Those who are always fearful from the khashya of their Lord. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفَقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ مُؤْمِنُونَ. Let me bring the verses so that I don't make a mistake in reciting them. Yeah, it's verse number 55 onward. Do they suppose that whatever aid we provide them in regard to wealth and children is because we are eager to bring them good? نُسَارُوا لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Rather, they are not aware. Surah Mu'minun 55 onwards. Verses 55 onwards. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفَقُونَ. Indeed, those who are apprehensive for the fear of their Lord. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And who believe in the signs of their Lord. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرَكُونَ. And who do not ascribe partners to their Lord. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا أَتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. And who give whatever they give while their hearts tremble with the oath that they are going to return to their Lord. أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا صَادِقُونَ. It is they who are zealous in performing good works and take the heed in them. Now, we have one other verse in Surah Zukhruf which somehow supports and intensify whatever is mentioned in this verse. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It is written for anyone who turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the wealth and property of this world is going to be a punishment for them. Now Allah says, since they are in Surah Zukhruf, it says, since surah number 43, since they are, of course, so misguided and they turn away from Allah, Allah really wants to punish them with this. And of course, if it was not for some reason, we would have given them more wealth rather than less, so that they become more punished with this wealth. Verse number 33 in Surah Zuhruf, Surah 43. وَلَوْلَا أَنْ يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Were it not for the danger that mankind would be one community, that is, everyone would have become faithless. Because Allah is going to say that I would have given plenty of wealth to the disbelievers. But if I do this, the believers would think that it's disbelief which brings this unfaithfulness, and it's, which brings this wealth and property, and therefore let us be unfaithful as well. Isn't this the attitude that we Muslims have nowadays, that we look up to the West, we see that they are very well-to-do, they are very good society, welfare, social security, and then we think that it's because of our faith that we have ended up like this. Let us be like them. And this is exactly mentioned in the Quran. There is such fear, of course, that if we give so plenty of wealth to the disbelievers, then everyone would want to become a disbeliever. So it says, وَلَوْلَا يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Were it not for the danger that mankind would be one community of disbelievers, لَجَعَلْنَا لَمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِنْ فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَطْعَرُونَ. We would have surely made for those who define the all beneficence silver roofs for their houses. You see, we would have given them so much that they would have made their roofs out of silver, and silver stairways by which they ascend. وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُرًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ. And silver doors for their houses, so huge that it needed many doors, and all those doors were made out of silver, and silver couches on which they recline. وَزُخْرُفًا. And ornaments of gold would have given them. وَإِنْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاءُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Yet all that would be nothing but the wares of the life of this world. وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hereafter near your Lord is for the God-wearing. Now, why would have done such a thing? Because then it would have been punishment for them, because then they would have been completely blind of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look what would happen to them if we would have done such a thing. وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرَ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيَّبْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. And whoever turns a blind eye to the remembrance of Allah, the All Beneficent, we assign him a devil who remains his companion. Indeed, they bar them from the way while they suppose that they are guided. So, you see, this is a big punishment. But, of course, it's not the case that Allah would want to bring this punishment to some people and keep it from others. It is written, whoever turns a blind eye to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turns to this world, the more they collect from this world, the more punishment they bring for themselves. This is a decree that Allah has made, and this is not going to be changed in any time with regard to any person. And the world without faith is a punishment. The world with faith, of course, if it's not going to divert the faithful from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is very difficult. Usually the wealth which diverts people's attention. So it is going to be, of course, a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi.
Salam. Alaykum salam. Just your last point, you know, I just want to, you know, when you just mentioned it, can we draw from this discussion this idea that the question of faith and the question of God are somehow intimately tied, in a sense that there is, even for those who are believers, a danger that they can end up in the other side because of this explanation of God, i.e. there's a direct relationship between the life of this world and the accumulation of wealth and the way it is defined, hayat al-dunya, that one has to be. And then the other side of the coin is the being God very mutafiq, and because it talks about kashya and it talks about, in the other eye, it talks about this, when they give charity, they are actually whole. So if, for example, even you think, for example, if you look at yourself and you look at how you are, and when you give charity or when you pray salat and when you do these things, you do not find those qualities that are mentioned in that ayah in Surah Al-Mu'min that you mentioned, does that somehow imply that there is a sense of kufr in your heart? You want to outwardly look faithful?
If you are wealthy.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't imply that.
You know, or not so much, even if you're not wealthy, but you seem to be preoccupied with all these things. I'm not talking about one particular thing. You know, it seems like if you feel like you're preoccupied with this world, any accumulation, and you can see that. And then all these other things apply. So it's not just one thing, it's like it seems they're all kind of. How would you?
Well, this is a very complicated type of issue for us to understand. I mean, sometimes we are faithful, but we vie for wealth, we really desire it. But Allah doesn't give it to us. And it's good. I mean, the point is Allah is looking after us by not giving us whatever we want. And we think that He is somehow against us. He doesn't want us to benefit from the wealth of this world, something like that. We have the, of course, the faithful are not really, really after this world. They are really after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they want comfort as well. So they are not يريدون حرف حياة الدنيا. Because in Quran you have من كان يريد حرف الآخر. Whoever wants the حرف, the farming of آخر, the cultivation for آخر, we would increase it for them. نزد له في الحرف. Then it is of course silent about what we give them in this world. We would somehow train them, we would look after them so that, because they want the cultivation of their heart for akhirah, we would help them. نزد له في الحرف. ومن كان يريد حرف الدنيا. But whoever is really after the cultivation of this life with property, wealth, then of course not him, we give them from it. But sometimes mu'minun really want it, he doesn't give it, because he knows what would benefit them, what would harm them. And this is something very difficult for us to judge, to understand. This should not of course stop us from activity, from having good economic type of activities in our lives. This is something that we cannot judge ourselves. Whatever, what we have to understand is that our hearts should not be really invested for this world. It should be invested for the other world, for the faith in Allah, for remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we think that our economic activities or our comfort and well-being is affecting it, we have to distance from it. This is important. A clever person would do that. A clever person would do that. However, usually we are not that clever and we are entangled and somehow trapped by it.
Can I just follow on? What about asking Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah?
Well, the best hasana is sufficient sustenance, not plenty of wealth, of course. Plenty of wealth, more than what you need, is something that you just have to protect and look after. Certainly, again, very shrewd people would understand this. Having more than what they need is redundant really, is something that would occupy and engage their minds and their hearts with something which they are not using, and they cannot use, they have to leave it anyhow. Now usually what we do, we perpetuate this need in our children. We say, okay, we are doing it for our children, and we are in fact worrying for something which has not come yet, and trap our hearts and our minds in this situation. Of course, to have sustenance and to have maintenance, so to speak, something that could maintain us without difficulty, is very good, and is something that we are always told to pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us. But more than that, we are not told to do that. No. Maybe this verse is talking in a different context. It really means that whatever Allah would give you would give any slave of Him or any creature, this would not put them equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever favor you receive from Allah is not going to make you equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ, has granted some of you an advantage over others in provision. فَمَا الَّذِينَ خُبَّدُوا بِرَادِّ رِزْقِهِمْ عَلَىٰ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَهُمْ فِي سَوَىٰ. Those who have been granted an advantage do not give over their provision to their slaves, so that they become equal in its respect. Meaning that whatever they give to their slaves to go and do business or even to maintain themselves wouldn't make the slaves to become equal with them. So it's giving an example of the social context of that time, that look at your relationship with your own slave, because slave at that time didn't own anything. They couldn't own anything. Whatever they had, it belonged to their owners. And it wants to tell us that out of this social context, you have to realize one thing, that whatever you receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do not own it still, you are His slaves. And you shouldn't think that you are independent, everything is in hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So apparently this is talking completely in a different concept, rather than the context of in part. And something like that.
Sheikh, we made very clear that wealth can be a punishment. But I'm confused about this other one. When Shakar from the Ridan Mukum, when Kafar from the Southern Arim, is that not talking about wealth and money?
Well, of course, as I said, for a mu'min, everything is a favor, is ni'mah. The wealth is a ni'mah, the increase of wealth is a ni'mah, everything for a mu'min is a ni'mah. And if you remember last week, we mentioned a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that said, if a mu'min wakes up in the morning and he owes whatever is in this world, it's good for him. And if he wakes up in the morning and he's going to be mutilated and torn into pieces, it's good for him. What the verses really want to say is that usually you see that disbelievers have lots of wealth, and you think that why despite all their disbelief and unfaithfulness Allah gives them all? Is it not in hands of Allah? Is it what they own by them from their own selves or what? Allah tells that with kufr, the more you have, the more punishment. with iman, the more you have, the more favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think we should think in this way. However, what of course Firuz was expressing is that if a mu'min finds out that at the end of his life, of course we have spent all our energy to gain wealth, to collect wealth, and we see that this has, instead of bringing us closer to God, has distanced us from Him. A clever mu'min would distance himself from that wealth and would try to, instead of again trying to increase it, trying to increase the remembrance of God in their heart, the dhikrullah, the thankfulness for Allah and those things.
Just
yeah,
to
if you look at the state of Islam, the early part of the state of Islam, and even now, you find that the people who are most drawn towards Islam, people who are destitute and poor, and those who are in difficulty, even within our own community, we find that people revert towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they go through periods of difficulty and destitution. That being the case, if you look at attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the benevolence. Would it not, and when we read in this verse that Allah desires to punish us by giving them wealth, if one aspect of the benevolence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be that He makes these people destitute so they turn towards Him and they become safe, rather than to continue down the line of having pride in their wealth and all that that brings, even ending their
lives without faith, and then being confined to Allah. Yeah, that is the case. If Allah really finds faith in a heart and really sees that having wealth is detrimental to that faith, He would withhold that wealth from the person and wouldn't give them. And we have explicitly this mentioned in some hadith that I know the situation of my faithful people better. Sometimes for some faithful, destitution would help them to increase their faith, and I will do that to them. Sometimes wealth would help them to increase their faith, we give it to them. Sometimes, for example, some sort of prayers and du'as and remembrance would help them. Sometimes if they do a special type of prayers, they would become arrogant. I wouldn't let them to do that. I wouldn't allow them to do such things. In fact, if Allah really finds desire, good intention and faith, then He would completely look after the person and would give them whatever would do good to them. But one issue we can really deduce from what we see from our observation is that usually it happens, the wealth is corrupted. And we see that when prophets came, usually it was only the poor people who believed. The wealthy people had gone arrogant, were so comfortable, they didn't want to give up what they had, and usually it barred them from having faith in the Prophet. And that's why the Prophet is told, never look at wealthy people when they disbelieve. Keep yourself with the poor ones. Although people will say, why only the poor, the people of no position would only believe in you. In Surah Kahf we have, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةَ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Keep yourself with those people who call their Lord in the morning, in the evening, they are after His pleasure. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Do not look beyond them, looking for the zina, decoration of this world. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. And do not follow the one whose heart is completely gone ignorant about remembrance, the wealthy people of course. This is usually the case.
The difficulty I have understanding is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Lord of all, the people who are on the right path and the people who are not on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't, from what we understand of the love of Allah, part of what He does, we actually facilitate for those people to actually come within the fold. So that even if they have nifaq in their heart, they have disbelief in their heart, it still remains incumbent because of Allah's attribute to actually bring them within the fold.
Well, but if whatever He does would not benefit them, if He gives them poverty, it would not benefit them, then of course Allah would leave them at some stage. Yes, Allah has two attributes, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. With His attribute Ar-Rahman, He encompasses everyone and He would give out of benevolence to everyone. But with His attribute of Ar-Rahim, He only brings those close who want to go close to Him, who are not reluctant to go to Him. And therefore this attribute of Ar-Rahim is specific only to mu'mineen. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He is Rahim only to mu'mineen, but Ar-Rahman for everyone. And otherwise, if it was not the case, then there would have been a compulsion. Allah should have forced those who want to go away to bring them back. You see, sometimes there's no compulsion, they desire to go to God, but there are distractions. Allah will take away those distractions out of His rahmah, His mercy. And those are sometimes difficult for us, we cannot understand them. Sometimes there's a big calamity coming out of benevolence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a mu'min, because otherwise it would have been a distraction. Now, for those people who have no desire to go to Him, there's no distraction anymore. They don't want it at all. For those who want it, there are distractions, Allah will take them away. So He is Allahu waliyul ladina aman, yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. He would take charge of their affairs, He would take them out of darkness to light, because they want it, but there are distractions, He would take the distractions away. But وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاءُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ, they want to go to darkness. There is no distraction here, there are just distractions from darkness that the shayateen would take them away. And the distraction from darkness is that sometimes they feel that they want to go to mosque, for example. Sometimes they feel that it's good if we fast. These are distractions from darkness. And the shayateen will take them away for that. And then they are completely immersed in darkness.
There are two more questions from inside.
Just
the point
about darkness, because they are conditioned, it's a matter of choice, isn't it? Correct?
Sorry, what?
Matter of choice. Warahmati, when they are kulshi, it covers everyone. But then those who choose to go to the line of the stray, they chose them.
Yes, this rahma, of course, warahmati wasa'at kulla shay, is in the verse fasa aktubha lilladhina amanu. I will write it only for the believers in the hereafter. And if it is rahmah which comes from the sifa rahim, yes, only those who choose that rahmah would be encompassed by it. If it's from the sifa of ar-Rahman, then it encompasses kulla shay, rahmati wasad kulla shay. Everything is included in my rahmah. Yeah, that's right.
Any other questions before we come to Manjir,
last question? Alif,
well, with all this discussion and looking at it in a balance, do we say that we are encouraged to get or accumulate wealth, accumulate in terms to acquire wealth? Wealth being a means of progress and strength. Are we encouraged to acquire wealth or we are discouraged? If we are encouraged as a means of progress for the Muslim as a whole, if you look at the discussion as a whole, are we warned of the pitfalls of acquiring it, and how we can balance it, that you acquire it to make progress but at the same time be aware of these pitfalls? Is this the conclusion that we can get from this?
Yes, of course. I mean, a mu'min should always look into the heart and try to take the utmost benefit from his life in this world. And that benefit certainly doesn't come from wealth. That's just a means of living. And the means of living, well, we have to try to to provide for our families. We go, we work. Sometimes there's good chance there that we acquire lots of wealth. Sometimes there's no good chance there. We do our duty. Our duty is to provide for our families, for ourselves and for our families. And this is like jihad fi sabilillah. But we don't do it because we give value for the wealth of this world. And what we have to observe all the time is that if what we are doing really is distancing us from the remembrance of God, we have to somehow change our habits or our course of life so that we come back to that type of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't exchange the remembrance of Allah with wealth, certainly. But if they are conforming with each other, if they are going well in one line, then of course there is no prevention from acquiring wealth of this world and having faith. Sometimes, of course, we think that, well, if everyone wants to go in seclusion and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens to society? And we shouldn't be like that. We should rather than thinking only about ourselves, think about the society. Muslim society should progress, should even prevail, kuffar society in terms of economy, politics, whatever. And therefore we have to try for that. Yes, if we try for that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course that's good, that's ibadah, worship. But usually what we do, we end up accumulating wealth at the expense of our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not good. Of course not when we say, I don't mean us here, because alhamdulillah we are all faithful. But sometimes in society this happens for some believers. They exchange the faith with the wealth of this world. However, there's one very good example from Ghazali. Of course, when we say we shouldn't think about these things, then immediately it comes to mind that what about the society of Muslims? Shouldn't be there people who work for the betterment of economy? Ghazali says there are always people who do that. You don't worry about it. And you worry about your own self. He mentions one hadith. He says that 1 hour of just ruling over Muslims, if a ruler is just, if a king or a president or whatever is just, 1 hour of his life, of his ruling, would equal to 60 years of ibadah, worship. He mentions this hadith from the Prophet, that 1 hour of just ruling equals to 60 years of worship. Then he says that, do not tell me why you yourself don't want to go and rule, because there are enough people who want to have this kingdom and ruling, and they are after it. So I am looking after myself now, I don't want that. For us as well, I think what is important, we have to look into our own hearts to see what would benefit us. There are other people who usually do other things out of their own desires and habits. So really a shrewd mu'min always looks after their own heart rather than thinking about other things. And then, if they are good enough, they would benefit the society as well, inshallah. And if they have wealth or poverty, at both cases, they benefit the society with their faith, with their iman. Even their faith would affect those wealthy people who are looking for a role model, who are looking for someone to advise them. In this way, I mean, they can change the life of the society as well.
Thank you. We have to close here. I knew that there were more questions coming after what you said last year, but I think that we continue next Sunday.
Inshallah.
Rather than just a Muhammad Wahid, Muhammad Salah.